إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن انتهج نهجه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praises are due to Almighty Allah, the Lord of the worlds. We praise Him, we thank Him, we seek for His help and forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evils of our souls and the evil consequences of our wrongdoings. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is His servant and messenger. May His peace and blessings be upon Him, His progeny and apostles, the believers who take the path, the right path till the day of resurrection. May Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the privilege of being among them. Bi-idhnillah tabarak wa ta'ala, today we shall commence the explanation of chapter 45. Still within the context of Riyadu Salihin, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala. The chapter reads, Babu ziyarati ahli al-khayri wa mujalasatihim wa suhbatihim wa mahabbatihim wa talabi ziyaratihim wa dua'i minhum wa ziyarati al-mawadhi' al-fadila. The chapter discusses visiting the pious persons, adopting their company, ومحبتهم loving them, وطلب زيارتهم والدعاء منهم seeking to visit them and seeking prayers from them, وزيارة المواضع الفاضلة and visiting places of virtue. We a hadith on that is chapter will touch on each and every aspect of this topic. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala brought forth the following verses as an introduction to this chapter, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Kahf, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ لَا أَبْرَحُ حَتَّى أَبْلَغَ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقُبًا. And mention, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Moses said to his boy, I will not cease traveling until I reach the junction of the two seas, or I continue for a long period. Aw amdiya huquba, not until I reach the junction of the two seas, I will proceed on the journey. Up to the saying of Allah سبحانه وتعالى قال له موسى هل أتبعك على أن تعلمني مما علمت رشدا. When Moses, نبي الله موسى عليه الصلاة والسلام, said to him, that is Khidr, may I follow you on the condition that you teach me from what you have been taught of sound judgments. That is when he got to his destination, when he met that servant of Allah, and he sought the company of that servant of Allah for the purpose of gaining knowledge from Khidr. In the same surah, of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَا. And keep yourself, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, keep yourself patient by being with those الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَا. By being with those who call upon their Lord in the morning and in the evening, يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَا, they are seeking the pleasure of their Lord. They are seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be patient in carrying along the pious ones, being in their company, being patient with them. The first hadith brought forth by Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala is the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu qala قال أبو بكر لعمر رضي الله عنهما بعد وفاة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم that أبو بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه said to عمر may Allah سبحانه وتعالى be pleased with them after the demise of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم انطلق بنا إلى أم أيمن رضي الله عنها نزورها كما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يزورها that oh Umar, let's go visit Umm Ayman as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to visit her. فَلَمَّا انْتَهَيَا إِلَيْهَا when they got to Umm Ayman, بكت Umm Ayman رضي الله تعالى عنه وأرضاها when she saw Abu Bakr and Umar, the closest of the friends of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she cried, she wept. فقالا لها then both of them said to her أم أيمن ما يبكيك why are you weeping أما تعلمين أن ما عند الله خير لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم don't you know that what is in store for the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم is better than this dunya don't you know that going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by taking away the soul of Rasulullah is the best for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because he is going back to meet that which is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so it is the best فقالت then she responded إني لا أبكي أني لا أبكي ألا أكون أعلم أن ما عند الله تعالى خير لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم that I am not weeping because of the ignorance of the fact that what is in store with Allah for Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is better for Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم than this dunya that is not the reason why I am weeping ولكن but I am weeping because أبكي ولكن أبكي أن الوحي قد انقطع من السماء because revelation has ceased to come from the heavens revelation has ceased to come فهيجتهما على البكاء this moved both Abu Bakr and Umar and into tears and فجعل يبكيان معها and they started weeping alongside أم أيمن رضي الله تعالى عنها وأرضاها رواه مسلم Umm Ayman used to be an emancipated slave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam freed her. She had a lot of privilege. She had the privilege of serving Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She used to be a servant of Abdullah, the father of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he died, he left her over as an estate to the mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, she left Umm Ayman over as an estate to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She served Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for many years. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while he was alive, used to visit this woman. He used to visit her. And that was the reason why Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu called upon Umar that they should visit this woman because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to visit her. The correlation between this hadith and the chapter is the fact that Abu Bakr and Umar visited this pious woman. You can see as a result of this visit, you can see the benefits. The benefits they reaped from visiting this woman. Something they have never even averted their mind to. The fact that the relationship between the heavens and the earth has ceased. This also once happened to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, but then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive. In another narration, it was Abu Bakr during the Hajjatul Wada, when the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was revealed, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم, that today I have perfected the religion. The religion has been perfected and sealed. It needs no addition, it needs no subtraction. That when this verse was revealed, either Abu Bakr or Umar, one of them, when they had Rasulullah in Hajjatul Wada reciting this verse, one of them started crying, bursted into tears. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inquired, that why are you crying? He said, Rasulullah, قَدْ كُنَّا فِي زِيَادَةٍ مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا, that we have been in the increase concerning our affairs. Whenever anything happens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the Quran. Whenever anything happens, the solution comes from the heavens through revelation. But with this verse, which has just been revealed to you, that verse is signifying that the religion is complete. And nothing by tradition will be complete except from that point of completion, it starts reducing. It starts reducing. Anything that reaches its peak, when it reaches that peak, it starts to decline. And that was why Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was crying then. But for this woman, after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, her thought was that, look, the relationship between the heavens and the earth, which used to be during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the revelation of the Quran, has ceased. That is what makes her weep. She also knew that what is in store with Allah for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best, is better for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But why she was within was the fact that the relationship between the heavens and the earth has ceased. That is revelation. Scholars said this hadith, it can be deduced from this hadith the level of love the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for Rasulullah, had for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that was what led them to be visiting those people whom Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to visit while he was alive. And that is why scholars said, your teachers, your parents, it is part of the deen for you to sustain the ties between yourself and those people with whom your parents and your teachers used to sustain ties, as we read in the previous chapters of the Quran, of Riyadh al-Salihin. We can see the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam putting this into practice. They visited her and she drew their attention to an important issue which made them to also see reason as to why Ummu Ayman was weeping. And that led the two of them into also weeping alongside with Ummu Ayman radiallahu ta'ala anha wa ardaha. So that is one of the benefits of visiting pious people. One of the benefits of visiting pious people, they will always bring forth issues that will increase you in faith, issues that will increase you in iman, not worldly things. The next hadith is that of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, an al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, anna rajulan zara akhan lahu fi qaryatin ukhra, فأرسل الله تعالى على مدرجته ملكا فلما أتى عليه قال أين تريد؟ قال أريد أخلي في هذه القرية. قال هل لك عليه من نعمة تربها عليه؟ قال لا، غير أني أحببته في الله تعالى. قال فإني رسول الله إليك بأن الله قد أحبك كما أحببته فيه. رواه مسلم. That Abu Huraira, on the authority of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said أن رجلا زار أخا له في قرية أخرى, that a man visited his brother in faith in another town. فأرسل الله تعالى على مدرجته ملكا. Then Allah سبحانه وتعالى sent an angel on his way, on the way of that man who set out to visit a brother in another town. فلما أتى عليه قال أين تريد. When the angel came to this man, he said to him, where do you intend going? قال أريد أخلي في هذه القرية. The man responded, I have the intention of visiting a brother in faith in the next town. قال هل لك عليه من نعمة تربها عليه. He said, do you have a favor with him which you are trying to sustain? قال لا. The person said, no, I don't have any favor with him which I'm trying to sustain. غير أني أحببته في الله تعالى. Except that I love him for the sake of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. قال. Then the angel said to him, فإني رسول الله, that indeed I am a messenger of Allah, إليك, to you, specifically sent to you by Allah, بأن الله قد أحبك كما أحببته فيه. But the purpose of sending me to you is to inform you from Allah that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also loves you, just like you love that brother of yours in faith for his sake. You love that brother for the sake of Allah, and you get the love of Allah in return. You get the love of Allah in return. Subhanallah. And what is it? What is it that can be compared to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you? If someone can be given such glad tidings on the earth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that person, what else? That is the greatest level of pleasure that someone can attain, attaining the love of Allah. For you to be one of those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declare his love for. Subhanallah. Look at the deed. If we are to use our own scale of judgment, by our own judgment, we wouldn't have been able to understand that this mere act of visiting a brother in faith, because of the love for the sake of Allah, not because you have a business interest with him and it has taken long, you've not heard from him, you want to be sure the business is still ongoing, and the business is of going concern, you want to be updated. No, you want a favor from him. No, he has been a favor to you in the past. Just because you love him for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When this person was informed by the angel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you, just like you love that servant of his for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at how enormous the reward. Look at how enormous the reward. Subhanallah. But just to say, this is one of those good deeds which someone can get engaged in to gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't forget that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you, he commands Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam to follow suit. إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا نَادَى جِبْرِيلٌ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves any of his servants, he calls upon Jibreel. And he says to him, Ya Jibreel, Inni ahbabtu fulana. Oh, you Jibreel, I indeed love so and so person and that. Fa'ahibbahu. I am hereby ordering you to also love him. Then Jibreel will love him. Thereafter, Jibreel will order all the angels in the heavens to love the person. And all of them will love him. وَيُجْعَلُ لَهُ الْقَبُولُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Then the person will be granted acceptance on earth. Subhanallah. But just to see, even in our endeavors, we seem to be turning the scale upside down. Start with Allah. Attain the pleasure and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and see what comes next. Because if you try, no matter how hard you try, no matter how much effort you put in trying to gain the pleasure of fellow human beings, that is an aim that can never be achieved. But if you attain the love of Allah, if you strive hard, you purify your intention, you engage in good deeds, one of which is loving a brother in faith for the sake of Allah and nothing more. Just for the sake of Allah and nothing more. Then visiting such brother. This is one of those deeds that can attain you the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you love Allah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you, then that which you will be running after on earth, you want people to love you, work hard and attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. Then you will be granted acceptance on earth. You will be granted acceptance on earth. قال فإني رسول الله إليك بأن الله قد أحبك كما أحببته فيه. And also in the hadith, the virtue of loving a brother in faith for the sake of Allah. The virtue of loving a brother in faith for the sake of Allah. Once an apostle came to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and said to him, Rasulullah, إني أحب فلان. إني أحب فلان. O Rasulullah, I love so and so person. أحبه في الله. I love him for the sake of Allah. You know, sometimes some people, you just love them and you don't find, you cannot even on your own find any interpretation for the love. It is not because they have done anything specifically to you, but because maybe they are religious, maybe they are truthful, maybe they are straightforward. You love them for the sake of Allah. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, هل أعلمته? Have you informed him? Have you informed him? He said, no. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, اذهب إليه فأخبره أو فأعلمه أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, go and inform him. Go and inform him. In that hadith, years back when I read that hadith and I was to explain it in a gathering like this, I can remember that what came to my mind was that Rasulullah said, have you informed him? He said, no, I have not. He said, go and inform him. What came to my mind was, what if that person doesn't know the whereabouts of the person he loves in Allah? That is to say, he doesn't know his house. Just like it is our condition today. Few years back, while we were reading Adab al-Mufrad, We read some ahadith that touches on the issue of ziyarah, exchanging visits. You know, our livelihood of today, how complicated it is. You meet people often, frequently, and you chat on Facebook, you chat on WhatsApp, social media platforms, and we seem to be satisfied. There is no any hadith that says, if you say 1,000 salam to a brother, you are on WhatsApp and you realize this person is online. You are on Facebook, this person is online. And you say salam to him, that it is sufficient. And it fills the gap of visiting him. It doesn't. When we wrote those ahadith that touches on visitation, when one of our brothers said, Wallahi Ustaz, what you have said, when after the class, after Isha prayer, one of our brothers said, Ustaz, Wallah, what you have said today, as far as my relationship to you is concerned, I've fallen into the trap. I said, I am also admitting that I've also fallen into the same trap. We meet every day, we meet. He has never for once visited me, I've never for once visited him. It's even possible that we don't know each other's house. And we are so familiar, so close. You can see, you realize that you are very close with this person, but you don't even know his house. This we really need to look inward and take care of. Look at the reward attached to you visiting someone. In so many situations, you see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In numerous narrations, authentic ahadith, you see him visiting his apostles. If he has noticed the absence of an apostle in the gathering, someone who used to be frequent, his absence was being noticed, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will accompany some of his companions to visit that person. We need to inculcate this in ourselves. We need to revive this sunnah. And that is why, you see, there are a lot of benefits attached to this. Sometimes, you realize that it is only that brother whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted the privilege of seeing the sunnah in his house. It is possible that sometimes he stays in the family house. You realize that sometimes, some family houses are predominated by people who are not Ahl Sunnah. And you left that brother alone. None of you has even ever for once visited him. It is a grace and a privilege that one day, I know that I used to be a beneficiary of that. While I was still a secondarian, while I was still at secondary school, there was a time I fell sick and I had to leave the hostel. I came back home. That really elevated my status in the whole of the street. When I came back home and I was at home and I was visited from the school. And we used to have Arabs as our teachers then. So my colleagues, students, and white people, Arabians, visited me. They came in their numbers in the school bus. And people were looking, where are these people heading to? And it happened to be that they are visiting that person who is even irrelevant in the whole of the street. You are now indirectly make that person relevant. You are now indirectly sending a signal, a positive one. You are not indirectly passing a message. But yes, look, they respect this person so much. They love him. They love one another. They can even come back to themselves and question their own character. That you belong to that society, you belong to this society. Have they ever visited you for once?
When you visit a brother, most especially in the company of other brothers, it strengthens him. It brings joy to him. This sunnah we need to revive. This sunnah we need to revive. Because if we are to be sincere to ourselves, we have abandoned this. We have abandoned this on daily basis. On daily basis. When I see people's face, people I know, wallahi, what comes to my mind is, on each person's face I see, what comes to my mind is, I've never visited this person. And if I have visited, I will tell myself how many times I have visited the person. Maybe I'm lucky I visited that person just once. And maybe even because there was a reason. Maybe there is an event. But visiting in an ordinary day. In an ordinary day. It brings joy to the family of the person you visited. It creates credence to them in their household, in their streets, and the likes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to implement. The next hadith is that of Anas. Is that of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Rasulullah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man aada maridan aw zara akhallahu fillah. That whosoever visits an ailing person, أو زار أخا له في الله, or he visited a brother of his in Allah, that is a brother in faith, ناداه مناد, that an announcer will call on such person, although you will not what? You will not hear, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has delegated an announcer, has delegated an angel who calls, an announcer will call on that person. بأن طبت وطاب ممشاك وتبوأت من الجنة وتبوأت من الجنة منزلا. That is, that angel will be supplicating for that person who is out to visit an ailing person or a brother in faith. طبت, may you be happy. Those are the words of the announcer who will call. Tibta, may you be happy. Wataba mamshak, may your walk, your footsteps, your effort towards visiting that ailing person, those footsteps you take towards visiting that brother of yours in faith, Wataba mamshak, may your walk, may your footsteps, may it be blessed. وَتَبَوَّأْتَ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ مَنْزِلًا, and may you be awarded a dignified position in Jannah. May you be awarded a dignified position in Jannah. For subhanAllah, how many times have we denied ourselves this dua from an angel? How many times, uncountable times, we have denied ourselves this dua from a designated angel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tibta wa taba min shak. Whenever you set out to visit an ailing person, this is what that announcer says. That may you be happy. Wa taba min shak. May your work be blessed. Wa taba wa'ta min al jannati manzila. And that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala award you a dignified position in Jannah. Even if for this alone, this is enough. This is enough for someone to be encouraged. This is enough to ignite our passion towards putting this into practice. And this is what our righteous predecessors, whenever they are engaged in an act of worship, this is what makes them to feel the taste. You know, worshiping Allah has a taste, has a very good and sweet taste. which nobody can explain except those who have the opportunity of testing it. When you are engaged in an act, and to that act a reward is attached, try to recall the reward. It strengthens you. It assists you to sustain that act. Whenever you remember that as you are doing this, an angel is saying this, it gives you happiness. It gives you more strength to be able to sustain this. That an angel is saying this, that an angel is supplicating for you, that an angel is praying for you, seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you not only the paradise but a dignified position in the paradise. We'll see that this good virtue is worth practicing. The next hadith is that of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال on the authority of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him, that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, قال إنما مثل الجليس الصالح وجليس السوء كحامل المسك ونافخ الكير, فحامل المسك إما أن يحذيك وإما أن تبتاء منه وإما أن تجد منه ريحا طيبا, ونافخ الكير إما أن يحرق ثيابك وإما أن تجد منه ريحا منتنة. متفق عليه. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إنما مثل الجليس الصالح والجليس وجليس السوء, that the similitude of a good company and the similitude of a bad company, كحامل المسك, is like the owner of perfume, the perfume seller. حامل المسك, someone who sells musk. ونافق الكير, and that of a blacksmith. Having a good person in your company is the similitude of Hamil al-Misk, the owner of Musk, and Nafiq al-Kir. Having a bad company is the similitude of a blacksmith. For Hamil al-Misk, Rasulullah says, in the case of the owner of the perfume, Imma an yuhdiyaka, it is either he gives you some of the perfume, some of the mist, free of charge, وإما أن تبتاء, or that you buy from the mist, وإما أن تجد منه ريحا طيبا, he did not give you any of the mist free of charge, and you did not buy, at least you are going to feel a pleasant fragrance. That is the worst case scenario. If you have as your company the owner of perfume, the perfume seller, the worst case scenario is for you to smell a pleasant fragrance. That is the worst case scenario. It is either he gives you some free of charge, or you buy from him, or if neither of the two happens, you smell a pleasant fragrance. That is the worst case scenario. That is, you do not lose out if you have such people as your company. Whichever way it turns out to be, you will benefit. But in the case of the blacksmith, wonderful chief, but in the case of someone who blows the billows, that is the blacksmith. إما أن يحرق ثيابك, إما أن يحرق ثيابك, it is either he burns your clothes, وإما أن تجد منه ريحا منتنا, or you smell a repugnant smell, or you smell a repugnant smell. Subhanallah. Look at this beautiful parable Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving us. about good company and a bad company. If you have someone who is scholars under this hadith said, if you have in your company someone who is pious, if you want to go astray, he assists you, he admonishes you. You benefit from him. It's either he says something good or he keeps me. If he gives you anything, he's giving you halal. If he's taking anything from you, he's taking halal. If he accompanies you to any place, it will be a lawful environment. You benefit from him. That is not the situation if you accompany those who are not pious. They don't have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The peak of their aim is the dunya. For someone who has no any other aim except the dunya, then keeping such persons as your companion is going to be at a very high risk of yours. But those who are pious, you don't lose out. But those who are not pious, if you continue to keep them as your companions, then you will always lose out. You will always lose out. In the case of the pious ones, the reverse is the case. Just close your eyes and imagine you are presently seated by the side of a perfume seller. You realize that whenever I read this hadith, maybe it used to be an olden day tradition that the perfume sellers indiscriminately distribute freely. Whenever I read this hadith, I avert my mind to what is applicable to our society. You see them, they come to a gathering like these people seated outside. They will come and give you a drop of perfume. They greet you and give you free of charge. Give you free of charge. If you have them as companions, it's either they give you free of charge, it's either you buy. If they do not give you and you did not buy, then you are still not losing because you are smelling a pleasant fragrance. That is the worst case scenario. You benefit from the pious ones. Even in the worst situation, you still benefit. But nafikhul kif. You have to be very careful because he would burn your clothes. If you are lucky and your clothes is not burnt, there is another unpleasant situation you cannot escape from. And that is the fact that tajidu minhu rihan muntina, a repugnant smell. That feeling of a repugnant smell, you cannot escape from it. So no matter how little, that person who is not pious, who is not God-fearing, if you have them as your companions, no matter how little, they will have a negative impact on you. That is the message. No matter how little, they will have a negative impact on you. That is the message of the hadith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good understanding and grant us the privilege of being able to put all this into practice. Inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala, because of time, we shall draw the curtain here. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the privilege of meeting next week, we shall proceed from the next hadith, the hadith of Abu Huraira, radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda, wallahu ta'ala alam. Any question? In the absence of any question, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala, we shall call it a day. Subhanakallahu alhamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.